I heard of a story of a man who wore his overshoes when it snowed or rained. He brushed his teeth twice a day. He had a physical checkup twice a year. He slept with his window open. He watched his diet very closely. He got plenty of exercise. He never smoked or drank. He thought he would live to be 100. His name suddenly appeared one morning in the obituary column of the newspaper. Funeral arrangements were being made. This man made one mistake. He forgot God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12, where we read the parable that our Lord gave of the rich fool who left God out of his life. In Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 16, we read, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Most people today would praise this man as a wise, energetic, successful farmer. But God calls him a fool. In today's society, such a man would be a candidate for the state's Farmer of the Year award. You can just see him now as he's being interviewed in front of the TV camera. He explains how that by modern machinery and better techniques and lots of man hours, he has made himself a very successful farmer. Now, there is really nothing wrong in a person being a successful farmer. But this man was so busy being successful, he left God completely out of his life. He was living as though God didn't exist. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." This man, who seemed to be so successful, really made many mistakes. Let us note a few of them. First, he ignored the fact that the ground on which he farmed was God-given. Everything he used, the animals to work the soil, the seed to sow, the sunshine and rain, all were God-given. Instead of acknowledging God as the source of his increase, and perhaps even considering what God would have him do, verse 17 says, he thought within himself. He had a little conference with the first person, the most important person in his life, himself. As someone has put it, he was a self-made man, and he worshipped his Creator. He took counsel with himself. What an interesting conversation. Note, he took counsel from himself and not from God. Since his yield exceeded his storage space, the reasonable thing to do would simply to build adequate storage space. To most people, that would be a sound business decision. However, look at the reason or motive behind his decision. It was purely selfish. He uses the personal pronouns I or my nearly a dozen times in just three verses. That is no sound business decision that leaves God out of one's life. And that is exactly what this man was doing. But today's philosophy says you've got to store up a little for the rainy day, you know. You've got to prepare for old age and so forth. It's amazing that man really hasn't changed much in 2,000 years. We're looking at a man who lived 2,000 years ago whose philosophy of life was the same as the 20th century man. We see that he was seeking security. He said, I have many goods. In other words, he was looking to his possessions to sustain him and to meet his every desire and need. In verse 15 of this chapter, our Lord said, For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. How foolish for man to put his trust in perishable things. Not only was he putting his confidence or trust in his possessions, but he thought he had many years to enjoy them. He said, I have many goods laid up for many years. He said, many years. But God said, tonight. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow. You do not know what a day may bring forth. This man would not see another tomorrow. He had not considered that the grim reaper called death would be knocking at his door that very night. Another flaw in this man's reasoning was that he could now live a life of ease. He said, soul, take your ease. In modern terminology, he was simply saying, man, I've got it made. With all this surplus of goods in storage, with all these wise investments, plenty of money drawing high interest, all my stocks, bonds, and securities, I can take an early retirement and live it up. I'll have a summer cottage in the lake or on the lake, and I'll build me a winter home in Florida. He was planning to take it easy the rest of his life, but he didn't know that the rest of his life was less than 24 hours. He said many years. God said tonight. This man was so self-centered that his main goal was to satisfy his lust by eating, drinking, and having a good time. In other words, he seemed to be planning for the rest of his life to be one long party. God was not in his thoughts, much less in his plans. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What is the Lord teaching us in this parable? Is he saying that it is wrong to be rich and that the wealthy are all going to hell? Certainly not. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God condemns rich men because they're wealthy. But God does condemn men who put their trust in riches instead of himself. It's hard to have riches and not trust in them. The question is often asked when someone dies, how much did he leave? The answer is always the same. He left all he had. How true. The Bible says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Just as this man in Luke 12 was making plans for many years, God said, tonight. This night is your soul required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? In other words, tonight you will die and leave behind all your possessions. This man had lived foolishly. He had left God out of his life. He had lived as though God didn't exist. In verse 21, Jesus said, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. To paraphrase this, our Lord was saying, everyone who lives like this man is really living as a fool. He is likewise a fool. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The obituary column in our newspaper is a sobering reminder that death is certain. But there is no more to death, or rather there is more to death, than just having a write-up in the obituary column. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. The man in the parable of Luke 12 never gave this a thought. Perhaps there is someone listening to this program who has never seriously considered the fact that death may be very near or very soon. Death seems almost always to come at the wrong time. Most people are never ready for it. It comes to all, to the rich and to the poor. If the grim reaper, as death is sometimes called, should knock at your door tonight, would you be ready to meet God? If you are saved, truly born again, you are ready. However, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you are not ready to meet God. Would you like to be ready? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and He wants to save you. Peter said He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. That is, He took the judgment for our sins and died on the cross for us. If we accept Him as paying the sin debt for us, then we are not judged. If you feel the burden of sin in your heart, won't you repent? That is, turn now from sin and receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Also in John 5:24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Will you receive him now? John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." You can surely trust the word of God and believe his promises. Jesus says, "The one who comes to me, I will in no means or by no means cast out." Will you come to him now?